This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of 5 Out. Today we're talking about James Harden, how he thinks he got jobbed out of the MVP because of who else? The media, of course, and Marcus Smart. Not worthy of being a Celtics captain, apparently, but he's now one of the three Captain Americas. I think it's fair to call him Captain America now. But we'll talk about that all, and we've got maybe a couple other things. Let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
I think one of the easiest narratives for any athlete, whether it's, you could say baseball, football, whatever, is you go and blame the media for dictating how things work out in terms of awards, how the public perceives them, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we saw it with Kyrie Irving here in Boston plenty, and now we have James Harden who's claiming that he didn't win MVP because of the media. Now, in fairness, the media does vote on MVP. It's how it all works and everything. But he's taken this whole thing away from Giannis in blaming it on what happened at the start of the season and how it just perpetuated itself towards the end. And, I mean, let's play the sound first, and then Matt and Tyler, we can talk about what it is exactly that Harden said. But this was on – what was it? It was on 97.9 – The Box, which KBXX in Houston, it's like a rhythmic top 40 station. Never heard of him before. But anyways, let's hear what Harden had to say.
I don't want to get into details, but
yeah,
all I can do is control what I can do. And I went out there and did what I was supposed to do at a high level. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
A season probably, it's only a few other seasons that anybody's ever done that before. You know, so.
Dude, every night on ESPN, they were saying, oh, he just did this record.
Yeah, I think
he went his
people,
record.
And people
30 in a row.
People were tuned in on to how many points that I was going to score the next game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a thing. But I can't control that. Only thing I can control is coming back next year and being better than I was and winning the chip. And you know what I'm saying?
Well, I didn't think I could hate him any more than I already do. But after listening to that, I hate him even more. He is such a tool bag.
I mean, dude, could you sound more whiny when it comes to it?
Dude, the part when he's like, oh, this is a season, you know, no. Listen, I already forgot about your damn season, all right?
Because you
don't care. You score 50 points. Yeah, and he ain't winning a chip next year either, so shut up.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, the whole thing with Giannis is, you want to say you had better season statistically than him. Fine, whatever. But, I mean, Giannis went and was the leader of the Bucks. He led him, you know, like in the postseason, obviously that's not factored into the course of things. But he led him to first place in the East. They were a force. Everybody thought they were the team to beat as much as you had to deal with the Raptors and everything like that. It was still, you got to go through the Bucks. The championship goes through Milwaukee. No one thought that about the Rockets for 2 seconds. The year before, they were good and they were a game away because you had Chris Paul, who was a little bit better. But, I mean, Giannis had – I don't want to put Chris Middleton and Chris Paul on the same playing field right now because I think Middleton is – he's definitely a better player right now and a different player. But, I mean, you had a guy who's like a A-minus, B-plus player on the Bucks, and then you have Giannis, and then James Harden is, you know, again, a similar level, but then you have Chris Paul is like a B player now, you'd say, Matt?
I mean, I say Chris Paul is a B-level player at this point in his career, but...
At this point.
I don't know. Yeah, at this point in his career. I don't think they made, like, obviously they brought in Westbrook, but to me, they're similar to last year in the sense that Chris Paul is not like a three-point shooter, so I don't know what he's going to do off the ball, but I don't know. I still can't get over the comments of... Like, it just shows you, like, oh, he's like, oh, I care that I didn't win MVP. Like, dude, who, like, any champion always says, like when Tom Brady wins MVPs, he doesn't care about that. He's all about the trophy, you know, it's all about winning it all. Like, who cares you didn't get MVP? And the fact that he said, like, you know, people will be talking about this, you know, for years to come. Like, dude, or whatever, you average 30, you're not the first one to ever do that. So,
no, you're not. But what I meant, Matt, was that you were talking about winning. and how he had Paul. I'm not talking about like this year. We're looking at last year. He had Paul, and I know he's in the Western Conference, but they did nothing.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're gonna. It's a loaded West. Like I can't imagine that they're gonna do. I don't know. I just what they added. I just don't. I see them at the same place that they always been in. He's not gonna change the way he plays. So it's gonna be the same result to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Tyler, where do you stand on this?
I'm trying to explain his thinking. I can't really do it all that well. But no. In his mind, he thinks I'm a better basketball player than him. But he's got the physical advantage that over everybody. That's just unstoppable. And it's kind of a spectacle at times to watch Giannis bring the ball down the court, two dribbles, and he's already dunking the full length of the court. But I mean, I don't agree with that statement at all. That the narrative. Do we not watch the games? Do we not? What's the point of watching the games if that's what? If we already predetermined the MVP, that makes no sense to me at all.
You know what's funny is, and this is the biggest flaw in his argument, and I don't know why it took this long for me to realize it. He talks about how the media controls the narrative. Well, wasn't the whole narrative on ESPN how every night James Harden's going to score 30, he's going to score 40, whatever? Like, weren't we hearing about that all season long? Isn't that kind of controlling the narrative at the same time?
He knows that.
That's what I mean. That's why this is so dumb. I know what you're talking about, but it's like, how does he not think that through when he says that? The ESPN was pushing the James Harden narrative too.
The thing is that's funny is that we're talking about James Harden is going to score 30 or 40. Why aren't they talking about are the Rockets going to win tonight? Because that obviously didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter at all. But yet, Daryl Morey is so quick to say how James Harden is the greatest scorer of all time. You would think if you have the greatest scorer of all time that you would be more of a contender than the Rockets have been. Yes, they could have gotten there when Chris Paul got hurt. Was it 2 years ago? Two playoffs ago now. And I get that they got screwed in that sense, or it was unfortunate, I guess, however you want to put it. But then Daryl Morey, we were gonna lead with this originally, but then we had the technological issues as well, where we came out a day late. For those loyal listeners, I know some people were not happy on Twitter. Understandable. You should expect nothing but the best from us. But Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, talked about why James Harden is the best scorer of all time. And this was on the Self-Made with Nade Shot podcast. I don't know how. I mean, people make fun of us for our name, Five Out. I don't understand what the hell that even means, what Nade Shot is.
If you looked at data at the time, once he had the ball in his hands, and it's still true to this day, and I get a lot of because someone asked me who's a better scorer, him or Michael Jordan, and it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
Based on literally, you give
James Harden the ball, and before you're giving up the ball, how many points do you generate, which is how you should measure offense. James Harden is by far number one in NBA history, and he was number one even at the Oklahoma City Thunder. It just, he was coming off the bench. It was a little more hidden. So you needed good data to sort of suss that out. So we knew he had that amazing skill to be a scorer.
Yeah, people probably aren't going to like you saying that.
No, people hate it. Now, the counter argument is reasonable. They say if you put Michael Jordan on a team now, he would do more than James Harden. That's possible. But if you're just saying like NBA history, how much, if you give this guy the ball, how much does his team score after you give him the ball before the other team gets the ball? It's James Harden. And I know that makes people mad, it's literally a fact.
Look, there's a huge list of guys, not a huge list of guys. There is a decent list of guys who are better scorers than James Harden. Ones that come to mind for me are Kareem, MJ, Larry, Steph, Hakeem, Wilt, Kobe, Shaq, LeBron, KD. That's 10 guys right away. Anybody disagree on any of those guys?
No, I don't disagree with any of those.
What was that, Tyler?
I said I cannot disagree on any of those. Those are all fair. I would love to disagree, but I can't.
Yeah, so do you guys think, like, when you hear – I mean, Maury's whole thing is, like, it's all a stats-based thing and everything. This is where I get annoyed because as much as we've cited stats on the show, I cite stats in my writing, but at some point it's like, well, like – you go and talk about all this stuff. I don't like personally. I don't want to hear too much of it because it's like, then why the hell do we watch the game? If his stats say he's the best scorer of all time, why don't they win more? At some point, there's a flaw in the logic.
I didn't know that we didn't. I thought when you played basketball, you played to win, not to average as many points as you possibly can. Because at the end of the day, you know, you could say he's the best scorer of all time, but until he actually wins a chip, to me, he's not even in the discussion.
Right. It doesn't. Yeah. If you can't win, then what the hell does any of that matter? Because Carmelo Anthony was a great scorer, too. But what has he done? Nothing.
Well, I mean, no one would say Jordan's the best ever or Jordan wouldn't be in the conversation of the best scorer ever if he didn't win six chips. I mean, come on. Like, it's just, if you want to be a great scorer, it has to relate to winning. Or it really doesn't matter. Like, it's one of those, you know, bloated stats. Like, all right, you scored 16 a game, but you lost. What the hell does it matter?
That's why, like, the per 36 numbers are valuable. But they're only really valuable, I think, for the bench guys, because then you just can see, all right, this guy is efficient. That's it. You don't see, like, if he's going to go play 36 minutes, because none of these guys play 36 minutes. It only happens rarely in the postseason when guys are on fire or when, like, other guys are slumping and you just need to keep riding the hot hand or whatever it is. Like, and Tyler, I know that you have no problem with stats, but, I mean, you got to admit that this is ridiculous.
The problem that I have with Daryl Morey in this whole comparison is that he's treating stats facts. And, I mean, in some cases that is, but you can't do that in an argument, because to say that, hey, efficiency-wise, James Harden is a better scorer than Jordan, while that may be true on a stat sheet, none of our eyes have ever told us that. I mean, come on. That's so ridiculous, because we all know, we watched Jordan. Jordan lived on the mid-range game and getting to the rim. And right. if he were to play in today's game, and he loved the mid-range game much more so than any player in today's game. I think DeMar DeRozan led the league in two-point attempts last year, like 16 a game. Jordan was at his career mark of 22. So he played so differently than the rest of the league does now. Wouldn't he change his game? Come on. I mean, I would think the exact same way.
I don't think he would change his game. Listen, if you're efficient at being a great two-point scorer, why the hell do you need to shoot more threes? That's the problem with the league, is that like, everybody's trying to be like Golden State and chuck threes. You have to shoot threes now to be a great scorer? No. I think Jordan could hit three-point shots, but he dominated in the mid-range area. So why the hell would you change that?
It took him a while to get his three-point shot though, Matt, if I remember correctly.
But I'm just saying, like, the reason he's such a great scorer, why is Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, MJ, all these dudes great scorers? Because they can score at all three levels. And I believe that. That's a thing. And James Harden doesn't have that in his game. He can't play without the ball.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And actually, that's why Clay would be another guy too, who you would definitely put him ahead of James Harden.
I think Clay Thompson is the best shooting guard in the league.
Right. I think that is a fair take. I think I could agree with that. So
he literally is probably, I'd say he's the best defender at the shooting guard position, and he doesn't need the ball. So yeah, is James Harden better with the ball? Cool. Yeah, that's fine. But that doesn't necessarily make you a better player, in my opinion. The fact that the dude scored 60 points off 9 dribbles is absurd.
He's one of the best players off the ball in the league. He may be the best player off the ball offensively in the league. But the thing is, Matt, like, it gets so because, like, no guy – no, like, you call him a shooting guard, and, yes, on that team he is a shooting guard. But, like, even then, like, there's so many people who are shooting guards and small forwards that it gets so muddy. That's why I'm not so quick to necessarily say right away, yes, he's definitely the best shooting guard in the league. I guess if you're just talking pure shooting guard and that's it, yeah, I guess I'll give it to him.
But, again, James Harden – would be considered in my mind, because again, it's a positionless league.
Right.
So James Harden to me is like a combo guard. He's a point guard, because the dude don't play without the ball. He doesn't do absolutely jack shit without the ball.
Which is why he's going to be so nuts with him and Russ there. But Russ, what started out as a shooting guard, so maybe that I can't wait to watch. This year I'm going to be using League Pass, because I mean, obviously we get the Celtics games because we're all up in Massachusetts, although Matt's in LA right now. But I'm going to be using my League Pass to watch the Nets this year and watch a ton of Rockets games, because I cannot wait to see what this mess looks like. But you know what, Matt? Going back to what we were saying and Tyler asked about Jordan and everything with him, and like, would he change his game? To your point, why would he change his game when now everybody else is spacing the floor? Now the only difference that he would probably have now is he would probably be more apt to dishing out when he has to. But even then, it's going to be less clogged in the middle, because you don't have many guys playing down low, barely any guys now. So he's going to have a lot more space. And if he's one-on-one, and even then sometimes he's going to split that double team, he would have almost no reason to change his game, other than some nerd telling him, well, Michael, the two-pointer is not as efficient, so you should probably take more threes and work on that.
Well, my response would be, if you look at Jordan's numbers, the season that he averaged the most three-point attempts was his highest effective field goal percentage. That's kind of a nerdy stat, but the EFG percentage is kind of a number that takes in the fact that the three is worth more than the two, of course. And so the season that he took more threes than any other season in his career – he had his highest EFG at like 55%. So, if I mean, we credit Jordan for being one of the smartest players ever. And so I mean, we've kind of been dumping on analytics lately, but he would notice those trends. He would notice, hey, my shooting numbers are up across the board in terms of efficiency. He sees the data. He'd be crazy not to change his game.
Right. But my one thing with these, with the guys who are like the people who are transcendent within games too, we've seen it with Belichick where he's always like a little bit ahead of the curve. I mean, I think that Michael Jordan would have taken more threes. Absolutely. Would he have turned into like what you see with everybody else now? I don't necessarily want to go and say he'd do that, but I think he maybe would add that to his repertoire, would have added it to his repertoire a little bit sooner. But where everybody else is moving towards this one trend, I mean, why is Kobe trying to teach, you know, Jason Tatum to shoot more mid-range shots? Because people aren't defending that, I would think, right, Matt?
I can understand where you said Jordan would take more threes because the game's a little different, but I don't think that'd be like his bread and butter and be like, oh, I gotta live or die by the three. Like, I think in today's game, when I think about it, it's so spread out that, like, when he played in the league, there was a lot more big guys. You know, there was an actual traditional power forward center where they clogged up the lane. So it was even harder probably to score around mid-range into the paint. And now today, he would literally probably score 40 points a game. I believe that.
See, and that's the thing, Tyler. Like, now, like back then when he started shooting more threes, I still think that he would add it to his game more now than he did in the past or sooner. But, like, when he started shooting more threes, the league was nothing like it is now. So he was ahead of the trend at that point. Don't you think that, like, going back to taking more twos would kind of do the same thing if he did it now?
I don't want to just say, hey, point to stats like Daryl Morey and say it's a fact it's more efficient and makes you a better scorer, but it's hard to disagree with that this huge jump I'm looking at for Kevin Durant in terms of shooting percentage is largely, in fact, to taking more threes.
You know,
but doesn't that also go with the system that they play in? That's Golden State's system. They just play in this. I like to see how he plays when he's in Brooklyn. That's a different system. They don't have literally the three best shooters of all time. That's why I think what this league has turned into is that everybody was trying to, at one point, obviously Golden State's a little broken up now because Kevin Durant's gone, but everybody tried to be like them, which I think is wrong. Like, when I think of Toronto, you know, and they won in their own style. They didn't try to be like Golden State because you can't be like Golden State because you don't have the three best shooters of all time. And that's why I think the Rockets, like that Mike D'Antoni system, it just doesn't work like that. Gordon's a nice player, but he's not one of those guys either. So I just think that if you, like, just because the three and, you know, analytics like relates more. No, I just think we watched Golden State, who was probably the best shooters of all time on the same team at one time. That doesn't mean that other teams have to play like that, because I think that's crazy.
I guess my main point is, if you can get more points and less shots, how can you disagree with that theory?
So call me crazy,
but that means you have really good ass shooters. That's what you're saying. But if you don't have really the Houston Rockets in Game 7 against the Warriors 2 years ago, they literally shot 5 for 40-something from three. Yeah, okay, fine. You either live or die by it in that sense, and they died. If they just took normal shots in that game, I think they'd be okay.
That's the thing, and I agree with that.
Like, for a team like my team, the Chicago Bulls, I mean, they have an embarrassment of a head coach who preaches pounding the ball inside and taking mid-range shots, and it's like the complete opposite of what the NBA is going towards. So is the NBA, the entire league, like, wrong for trending towards more threes? I mean, I feel like that's where Matt is going here.
I'm just saying at some point you can't be like Golden State. You cannot shoot that many threes and expect to win. You have to have different parts of your game. You have to be able to score in mid-range. People think, oh, mid-range is a lost art. That's bullshit. That's just because people think it's a bad shot. What? Just chucking up how many James Harden threes I've seen him miss are bad shots?
A ton.
If you're efficient at scoring in the mid post or in the post, the reason you run offense is to score points. So if you have Shaq, if you have Shaquille O'Neal, I'm going to say, no, Shaq, listen, you're just going to set ball screens so we can shoot threes. No, I'm going to say, Shaq, get your big ass in the post. I'm going to throw you the ball. Can you dunk it on every guy that guards you? The whole point of playing offense is to score the ball. It doesn't matter where. Golden State had really great shooters. So, yeah, I would shoot a lot of threes too. But if you don't have that, what the hell are we doing?
See, and my thing with the stats, like with the stats, Tyler's saying, well, like you get the threes and then like it's the whole efficiency thing. Well, it's over the course of a season, in the course of an individual game, like Matt said, if you go and live by the three, you can just as easily die by it. And what's to say one night, you know, if you're shooting 40% all season long, and then you have one night, one day where you're lights out, then the next day you regress to the mean and you shoot miserably. Like the, and when it comes to like, there is, I know you can't quantify momentum or whatever, but when somebody gets going offensively and they just keep scoring two after two after two, and you keep trying to catch up with threes and you can't do anything, well, then you're screwed, and then you're just going to keep falling behind by more. It doesn't matter if they don't take another friggin' three the rest of the game. So that's why, like, yeah, you want to take more layups or, you know, try and throw down at the rim. But if you can do that in the mid-range game too, then why not do it? Like, that's where threes are – yes, they're valuable, and maybe people should take more than they used to, and they and, like they are now, but maybe not quite as much. Because some of these guys just – I mean, no matter what, they're no – most of them are never going to be Steph. Almost all of them are never going to be Steph. Steph or Clay or KD. There's a reason that they're amazing. They have this either natural talent, work harder than everybody else, whatever.
Okay, so I'm going to bring up one more stat before we can end this debate here. So I'm looking at the last 20 years. This is the league average of points per shot. In the restricted area, it's 1.2. A corner three, 1.16. Above the break, three-point line, 105. The two worst shots on the court are inside the paint and mid-range shots, both at 0.79. So, I mean, that's kind of a stat right there that just basically says on every shot, this is the value of that given shot. And mid-range and paint shots are the worst of any of them.
And the paint shots are the worst. Because,
which is, that's stupid. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think statistics, it's whatever. You're reading it, but I think it's everything's relative. Like, again, the NBA is in a different place because more guys can shoot the ball from, you know, further out. Like, centers now shoot threes, all that stuff. But, I actually will enjoy, other than Enes Kanter playing defense, I will enjoy a center that can actually rebound the shit out of the ball and be efficient under the basket. I'm sick of five out. I'm sick of centers taking threes. You don't need a big guy to shoot a three. Right? Why do I need? And I liked Aaron Baines for what he was, but like, I didn't like when he shot threes. Why?
Because
I'd rather have you dunk the ball than shoot a three. What's a higher percentage shot? You dunking the ball or you shooting a three? I would say dunking the ball. I just think that the NBA now is so spaced out that more guys take those threes, so it's probably worth more. We don't, and maybe it's because we don't have guys work on their mid-range games anymore.
Oh, you think?
You're gonna tell me Kobe Bryant wasn't an efficient player? And Jordan wasn't an efficient player because they shot mid-range jumpers. No, they dominated. They scored 30-something points a game. You could not stop them. So I will take that shot any day over a three. Because, again, like I said, at the end of the day, it's about scoring the ball.
I think what this really comes down to, Matt, is as much as Tyler wanted to say at the beginning that James – or was saying at the beginning that James Harden, that he wasn't on Daryl Morey's side, more and more it seems like he is on Daryl Morey's side.
No, I think
– I'm convincing myself here.
You're being a stat guy. You're a stat guy.
Yeah, jeez.
I don't know how you can go. I mean, stats are not facts. Stats are not facts. But, I mean, this is a fact that the paint mid-range shots are not as efficient. Okay, so in other words, 100 mid-range jumpers would give you 79 points. If you took 100 corner threes, you get 116 points. So, I mean.
The MVP of the finals. Who is the MVP of the finals this year?
Kawhi Leonard.
So did he dominate from the three-point line?
No, he did not.
Hell freaking no, he didn't. He dominated everywhere on the floor. That's the point. That's my point. Is like, again, it's everybody trying to be like Golden State. And Daryl Morey is a moron. Because you're going to tell me that you're this GM that knows everything because you guys shoot so many threes. Yeah, how many rings you got, bro? You got zero, you dumbass. You got nothing. You got nothing. And now you got James Harden and Russell Westbrook together. If that works, then I'll shake your hand. But I guarantee that they are not winning a chip this year. And it's because the West is loaded. But James Harden, to me, until he figures out how to play without the ball in his hands and dribble it for 25 seconds, and that's over a shot clock limit, like, he's not going to win. I just don't believe it. He's not going to win. You can't win like that. And I believe that. As a basketball, like, And that's why I loved how Golden State played. I loved how the Spurs played when they beat the Heat, because they moved the ball. They, you know, in the Rockets, it's one guy dribble, four guys watch. I don't think that can work.
You know, Tyler, I got to say, I know how to piss Matt off, but you have like an unbelievable natural ability where it seems like you don't even have to think about it, because him saying freaking, that took a lot of control out of him.
I swear.
I commend Matt for censoring himself, but I do have one more thing I want to pick out. That so he said he doesn't want centers shooting threes. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks this year were damn good with their three-point shooter.
Brooke Lopez
is shooting threes, and you know what that does, Matt? I don't like Brooke Lopez shooting threes, because I don't like Brooke Lopez at all. It's beside the point. But you have to agree with me on this point, that when Brooke Lopez does shoot threes, it makes it that much easier for Giannis to get to the rim.
Yes.
You cannot sit. So there you go. So it spaces the floor better. It makes it easier for your shot. For your shot that you love, makes it easier when the big men shoot threes.
Did the Bucks win?
They did not win, but they weren't the most talented team.
The way you were just talking, I was like, holy crap, did the Bucks win the championship? No. Dude, like, that's why I don't like Brooke Lopez. Dude, the dude 7 feet tall is chucking bombs. Like, come on, get out of here.
Don't you think having with you when you have Giannis though, with the way the game is?
No, you need a floor spacer. I totally agree with that. But him and now that he's shooting threes, he spaces the floor. What is he like on defense? He sucks on defense. I'd rather have a guard out there who can shoot threes, space the floor, and then play on the other side. If that makes sense to you.
You'd rather have Nate Robinson playing defense on the center.
Well, you just literally went from a 7-footer to a freaking 5'11 guy.
Well, my point was you were trying to say that you don't care because you think he sucks on defense.
Yeah, he blows, because then they just put him in pick and roll situation. He can't guard anybody.
Speaking of Brooke Lopez, before Matt has an aneurysm, I did want to talk a little about Team USA, because they played Thursday morning. I was up bright and early to watch the whole damn game. And Brooke Lopez is actually a guy who kind of jumped out, where he did not play a whole lot. I don't have his minutes right in front of me, but right now it's Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell getting the most minutes. Joe Harris is right there. Jason Tatum continues to be in the top like 4 or 5 every single time. One guy who didn't play, and it was Marcus Smart. Now, we know he's coming off the calf issue and everything like that, but there's only one guy who's going to get cut from this team. You know, when you look on the surface in terms of guys who are most talented and everything, like most accomplished, yes, Smart is an all-defensive player. You lost P.J. Tucker. You don't have De'Aaron Fox now because he pulled out too. And then you look at the big men. You have Plumlee. You have Brooke Lopez. You have Miles Turner. You know, Middleton's a bigger guy too, but you kind of need to keep those three. So it seemed like when Smart doesn't play today, I'm thinking, oh boy, like he may get cut. He may keep him over White, because obviously White's the Spurs guy. But then we find out I've seen multiple reports on it that Marcus Smart, along with Kemba Walker and Donovan Mitchell, have all been named captains of Team USA, which I got to be honest, guys, as much as I think Smart, you know, has captain-like qualities, I did not expect this whatsoever, not for Team USA.
No, I could see it.
Why?
I mean, if they're going to keep him, I think he could be a good leader on that team. Would I have bet money that he'd been a captain, named captain? No, but apparently now, like, I saw, you know, you put on the Twitter that Derek White's probably out, which I would agree with. I think that's an easy call there. But I get Marcus Smart definitely takes a lot of criticism, but I think he's a very vocal guy. I think the way he plays defense, you know, inspires guys, because, you know, he puts his body on the line. Now, does he have some issues that he has to clean up where he's too emotional? Yes, but I think an emotional leader like that is a good one.
So when we originally recorded the show, we had talked about some stuff with Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston, wrote a piece on how Marcus Smart should be named the Celtics team captain prior to the start of the season, which, again, like, I'm fine with that. I'm not necessarily one. I wouldn't ever think to write that necessarily, because I don't think the whole title of captain means anything. I get it. Football, it actually serves a purpose. Same thing in soccer. I get all that. But like basketball, does it mean anything? Baseball, does it mean anything? No, I don't. As far as I know, it doesn't. I don't know about hockey. It does mean something, right? Every team has a captain. And then what, like Tyler's two assistant captains. Is that right?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Okay, I didn't know. I figured you have to know everything because, you know, you got Glenn, who says he's a big hockey guy, right? And then what is it, that thing that they asked Cassidy about the other day? Matt, was it Take the Pipe? Is that what it was, Tyler?
Take the Pipe. That was the phrase that Christian asked about to Bruce Cassidy, yeah.
Okay, I hadn't heard Glenn say that before, but Take the Pipe, to me, the first thing I think of, Matt, I don't know about you, I don't think of hockey when I hear the term Take the Pipe.
Yeah, I don't think I should talk on this podcast of what I think of when I hear that word. Yeah, it's not hockey terms to me.
Don't you think of J.R. Smith?
The J.R. Smith line, yeah. that's a classic one.
You trying to get the pipe?
So there were a couple articles that were written. One was directly in response to Sherrod. I have to imagine the other one was in some capacity as well. Maybe this was written a day before. I don't know. But I'm not going to go through them all again because one of them's by Jeff Clark of Hardwood Houdini, and he basically tried to say that Smart has a character problem. His big quote, I saw Tom Westerholm of Mass Live point this out. This is regarding Smart being a captain. Disqualifying Smart are his boorish, bullying ways he conducts himself both on and off the floor, and his overall lack of talent as compared with Celtics captains from yesteryear. Anybody who's citing talent when it comes to being a captain, like, you obviously you can't be Brian Scalabrine where you're the 15th man on a team, but you don't have to be the best guy. If you have a role on the team and play a part in the success or have for years, you can be a leader. Like, you don't need to be the best guy. Being the best guy should not have to worry about that. I don't know what it was with you in college, but you were the best guy on your team by the time you were a senior. I mean, you had other people that dealt with that crap, right? You didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, so like as a senior in college, I wasn't named a captain. And it actually was, you know, it was a pretty cool experience in the sense like, you know, I thought I would be. But when I wasn't, I understood my coach explained it to me in a pretty cool way. And that when I was a senior in college, like I wasn't named a captain. And I was definitely the best player on the team. And to me, at first, it was weird. But the way my coach explained it to me made a lot of sense in the sense that, you know, he named James, who's one of my buddies, one of my roommates, you know, the captain. And James wasn't like by far anywhere close to being the best player on the team. He was just a great role player, probably played 15, 20 minutes a game. I consider him as like a glue guy, and he just kind of held the team together. And it made, for me as being the main scorer and all that, helped me out a lot because I didn't really have to worry about doing that kind of captain style. I was still a leader in a sense, but not
right
named the captain. So, like, to Nick's point is that, you know, you don't have to be the best player on a team to be a captain. And in the Marcus Smart sense, I mean, sometimes it does work out that way. But, you know, it's not weird that it's not that way.
It's very rare when it works out that way, I feel, where a guy can go and do everything that he needs to do and be the best player and then still find a way to help guide other people. Because when you do something like that, like when you're trying to go out and win the game and that's your job, like that, you have so much else on your mind that you got to focus on. You can't be trying to tell guys what to do and help them and provide answers in different situations. And honestly, like Smart not being great, the fact that he has dealt with like where he's had the terrible shot selection. Even last year, he had some pretty poor shot selection early on. He got better as the season progressed. But like the fact that he's gone through all that stuff to me is like, okay, this guy has made mistakes. He sounds a lot more mature. He seems a lot more mature. Every year he seems more mature, as much as he still does some dumb things. Was it DeAndre Bembry last year with the Hawks? But like a guy who's gone through mistakes, that's someone who I feel like is in position to be a leader above all else, more than most people. I don't always want a guy who's been successful. The other story that we saw too, and this one was a little suspect, on a site called Medium. And I'm just going to read the headline in that one stupid sentence that this guy wrote. Marcus Smart lacks the entrepreneurial skills to be the Celtics team captain. He's talked about says a lot of ridiculous stuff. I actually do recommend reading it. Matt can't get through it because it's so painful. But it's just when I read this, I thought this was like The Onion or Barstool where someone's trying to be satirical. Because at one point, he says how I don't see he talks about how like Smart is not famous by NBA standards. And then this is verbatim what he says. In fact, what Smart garnered the most national attention for was a childish outburst in which he shoved a hardworking season ticket owner just for screaming a slur in his face. I don't know what's up with this dude, but like, I don't know where you think that it's okay for anybody to scream a slur in someone's face like that. Like that honestly is the dumbest thing I think that's ever been written.
Let's go to a line here that I do not understand. Here's two sentences back to back. People will try to invalidate the accomplishments of famous people and can never separate the accomplishments from our cancel culture. Sorry that Richard Nixon wasn't woke, wasn't alcoholic, and got thousands killed. But guess what? He was powerful. Can't take that away from him. Here's one more line. Maybe if Marcus Smart was more like President Nixon, I'd have less misgivings, but he's got to prove to me that he's mature enough.
Oh, God. Honestly, Tyler, that was the point. Like, the whole way through, when I was reading it, because I'm highlighting it, trying to find the ridiculous parts, and there's a ton. And then it got to one spot where I think it was the Nixon part where I stopped highlighting things. Yeah, it was the paragraph before, because it was where he's talking about the status quo and all that crap. I'm just thinking, like, this guy, he can't be like this has to be a joke.
It's not dumb. It's just racist. That guy's a racist.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't like to say that a lot, but dude, you can't tell me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you told me that he said in the article that the guy, the 45-year-old dude that yelled in his face didn't deserve that?
Basically, I'll read it again. So it was, in fact, what Smart garnered the most national attention for was a childish outburst in which he shoved a hardworking season ticket owner just for screaming a slur in his face.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that you say that, you're talking about an 18, 19 years old freshman in college, and you got a grown-ass man saying a racial slur to his face and that Marcus Smart needs to be a bigger person? No, I think the 45-year-old man needs to be a bigger person and not say a racial slur to a kid's face.
Even when you break it down like that, I mean, just on the surface, there's no reason to say anything like that anyways, but when you break it down where it's like an adult being unbelievably unacceptable in public like that, and it's a kid who's dealing with it, it's like, what the fuck? When you break it down like that, it's even more absurd. And this guy's just like, it's like we've said, we've beaten it to death. It's enough. It's ridiculous. If you want to laugh, it's on the Medium. Again, the headline is Marcus Smart lacks the entrepreneurial skills to be the Celtics team captain. I would normally say don't give someone like this a click, but it's just so dumb that
that article should be removed. That's what it should happen.
I mean, at the same time, I almost want people to see it. So it's like this guy is an a-hole, and like, you don't read it. Don't take his stuff seriously anymore. Don't read it anymore. But anyways, before we wrap things up, I know there were rumors about Dwight Howard and everything possibly going to the Lakers. The Shams reported that the Grizzlies were giving him a shot or giving him the opportunity to go talk to him. Windhorse is saying no, Matt. I just, I know Tyler wanted to hear what you had to say on this. Before we get to the mailbag stuff, just quickly, what do you think about Howard being with the Lakers?
Dwight Howard is an asshole. And, I pray to the good heavens. I'm in LA right now. I pray to the good heavens that Dwight Howard ends up on the Lakers. It would make my day. It would make everybody's day. It'd be we could get a show going. What's Hard Knocks? We could get it. We'll make up a new show. I'll go in there and videotape it. Yeah, I'll videotape it. I'll go in there. I want to see it. Dwight Howard in that locker room in LA. It would be great. It'd be absolutely great. Please let it happen.
It would be must-watch television for sure. Now, last thing before we get going, we've had a lot of people chiming in on Twitter and Instagram, especially with the addition of Tyler. Everybody was pissed about the whole Amari Stoudemire thing. Never mind that Dirk Nowitzki and you almost killed Matt as he was re-listening to the show. You almost drove off the road, right, Matt? Or you had to stop the car?
Oh well, when he said the Amari stuff, that we were, I think we're coming down the coastline, and we were like, hey, let's throw on the Five Eye. I wanted to hear, the last episode, and I'm riding, and I remember Tyler saying in the Five Out that Amari Stoudemire is better than Tim Duncan. I almost veered off the road.
Hold on. That's not what I said.
Into the water. Like, you're driving on the coastline, and literally, I almost took the wheel and just throw the whole car into the water because I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy crap. He just said Amari is better than Tim Duncan? You said it. Go listen to it.
Well, maybe your hearing will be better if you were underwater, because I never said that. Like, come on.
Oh, Tyler, you said
he 100% go re-listen to that. You said it. And Tyler, I had witnesses.
I'll go back and listen and I'll check it. And if I'm wrong, I'll apologize on next week's episode.
Hey, no, you did. Shout out to Kyle Rujo, who wrote on the Instagram page. He said, I turned it off when I heard him say, Omari Sotomayor has been Tim Duncan. I laughed my ass off when I saw that comment. But you definitely said it.
Yeah, I would recommend that, Kyle, if you didn't finish it, go back and listen to it because the rest of the show was good, as much as Tyler may have sounded a little suspect at that point. But all this has led to more and more people weighing in, Tyler, so good job pissing everybody off. We had a couple people reach out on Twitter, Instagram. So we got this one from Twitter. This was the first person that reached out, @_IzzyDoesIt_ on Twitter. He asked us. He was apparently rewatching some stuff on NBA TV, and they had Thunder 2012 playoff game. And he asked, you know, on the James Harden theme and everything, the 2010-2013 Thunder, are they the most disappointing team ever? I would say they're up there.
I don't know. To me, if I had a top five, I'm trying to think. I don't know if they'd crack the top five for me. They were all young. They weren't even in their prime. They played against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh all in that prime. So, to me, I don't think they're that disappointing. To me, I think probably in my top three, just being a Celtics fan, obviously this year team would probably crack the top three just because of all the expectations. But to me, like we talked about yesterday, the 08 team to me was my most disappointing team only because we won the first year. And then they never won again. And it kind of – I don't know. It's kind of a shame, to be honest.
Yeah, and I didn't think of that. Maybe that's just because as a kid, you grew up and it's like, oh, the Celtics finally won. You hear about it for years from our parents, like, oh, the Celtics were the greatest, blah, 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 this, that, whatever, growing up for them. And I thought of last year's Celtics, yes, in the conversation. I don't know if they're in the top three, but they're up there. I think that you know what's another one, too? The 2012-2013 Lakers, because they had – as much as some of these guys were older, Steve Nash, Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, Meta World Peace, and they had Dwight, of course. That was his 1 year there. The Grizzlies, to me, like in a different sense, obviously they like that was the best the franchise has ever been. But like I'm disappointed that they could never get that shot in the finals to get after. I wanted to see them go make that final push. I think on the same playing field as like the Celtics of like the 08 Celtics and then those like years that they had the big three, LeBron's Heat were a somewhat of a disappointment too, because as much as they won, the whole thing was we expect them to win every single year. And as much as they were competing every single year, it's like, you know, you lose to the Mavericks and the Spurs, right? They lost 2-2. That was the other team.
And I think you brought this, you know, yesterday when we tried to do the pod about the Miami Heat team being one. And I actually agree with that. I think they would be in my top three if I really had to think about it and I actually wrote it down, because you made a great point. Like, their expectations, and they even said it, 5, 6, 7, whatever, you know, ridiculous amount of championships. And they were 2-2. And I think to how good that team could have been and everybody thought they'd be, to win only two, I don't know. I guess you put that in the disappointing. Just like I said, Celtics, you know, they won one, which is, you know, winning a championship's hard. I just think, with that squad, you think, you know, at least I did. I'm like, oh, they're going to win back-to-back or three, you know?
Right, definitely.
But wasn't the very next year after that four-year run of the Heat, you know, the not one, not two, that Heat four-year run you were just mentioning, the year after that ended was the start of the Warriors run?
That's sort of correct. But
the Heat lost to the Spurs in 2014, and the Warriors and Cavs played in the next four.
Right.
Because LeBron's said, all right, Wade and Bosch are getting too old. Let me hop on Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Yep. And make it like the homecoming with Cleveland and everything. But that wasn't – KD was not there yet at the start of it.
No, that was no. – Golden State had won not only because, but it was a factor. Kyrie and K-Love didn't play.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of made a big difference. The other team, too, and I know Matt does not agree with me on this one, but I still think that they're a pretty huge disappointment just looking at these six guys. You have on the Brooklyn Nets 2013-2014 roster, you have KG, Paul Pierce, admittedly older, but still effective, were supposed to be effective players, Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, who wasn't Atlanta Hawks Joe Johnson, but still was an all-star. I think it was that year he was an all-star, if not the year before. Brooke Lopez when he was younger, and then Jason Terry. I mean, to me, I would think you could be a lot better than what they turned into that year.
Yeah, I think you have a point in the sense that they didn't turn out, but I never thought that team – when they got Pierce and KG, like, oh, that's a championship team. I don't know. I think most of those guys were over the hill or overrated at that point in their career. This is kind of like how you described that Lakers team. We said Dwight and Nash. Like, Nash was too old. He didn't even play. Like, and Dwight Howard is an idiot. So, you know, I don't think – when I think of those two teams, they're definitely disappointing in a sense, but I don't put them at the top of my list.
Tyler, do you have anybody to throw in there?
I mean, can we keep it local here to the team we just saw here in Boston? I mean, that team was considered probably the best team on paper in the Eastern Conference to start the season, and I never once felt that they were a contender at all. Like, that team was so talented. You have an alpha in Kyrie, at least he thinks he's an alpha. You have shooting in the young guys and Jalen and Jason. You have Al that can step out and shoot, and he's the glue guy. And this team was super hyped and just never felt like anything ever meshed. Like, that is what is truly disappointing, is when you have a loaded team on paper and, like, it just never, ever came together.
That's why I think
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just going to correct him on the Kyrie alpha. I was more like asshole. Kyrie is an asshole. But,
Jesus.
But again, you said it was on paper. To me, it's on paper, though. Like, We didn't know how it would mesh.
But, well,
like,
what's on paper is what builds up your expectations and excitement. Like, that's all you go on preseason is on paper.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I get that. But I'm saying my only argument is that, like, if you think of that Celtics team where they hit one right off the back and they were good on paper, the fact that they only won one in that whole run is kind of disappointing. Where that Celtics team, you had Gordon Hayward come back from injury. You had, like, a lot of unknowns, but you still on paper look good. But we all knew, we didn't know how it was going to work out.
I think there's
in the end of it.
Part of the reason why I say they're in the conversation, but I don't, like, say for sure that they're even in the top 10 is because recency bias. Like, are we going to, like, some of these teams, like, you don't forget how, like, when you think about the Heat, it's like, yeah, they were really good, but they didn't win as often as we all expected them to. You look at the Celtics and it's like, yeah, I've thought about that before too. Never in the capacity, like, wow, they were so disappointing. But it's like, yeah, it's weird. When you look back at it, you would have thought they would have won more. Again, I still think they got screwed in game six of the 2010 finals. But they still didn't win in the end. And, like, that's why I say the Nets, like, I don't know if – I mean, that's one I won't forget. So, that's why – and with the Thunder – they're different than all these other teams because they were so young. Yeah, but you had friggin' Serge, you had Perk at one point in that mix, you had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant all in the same damn roster, and you didn't win. So, and I get that you dealt with LeBron and everything like that. It's just that in some capacity, I look at that and say, yeah, that's a disappointing team. That's a team that we're never going to forget because it's like there was so much talent. Maybe it's because of what they all turned into. Maybe if James Harden didn't turn into the superstar, because he's still a superstar. If he didn't turn into the superstar he is now, then maybe I wouldn't throw them in that category. But it's still like, well, you know, I mean, and then there's the other one too, Matt, where they were up 3-1 to the friggin' Warriors and then they choked. I mean, that one could be even more disappointing maybe.
Yeah, no, I can see, you know, where you're going with all these. And I think, you know, it's all, again, all objective. But to me, If I'm thinking, like, disappointment, like, it's not just on paper. Like, it just can't be on paper. It's got to be what you actually do and then the year after. Because I think that, to me, I'll just never forget. The 08 team, it killed me. Like you said, they got screwed in game six. And Perkins went down and all that. But still, at the end of the day, you look at that squad and you're like, damn, they only won one. Like, you just thought they would win at least, I mean, at least two. I won three.
That 08-09 Celtics team lost to who?
08-09?
Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, that and you know, well,
that's
they
why
also,
Matt
they,
hates but, him so much.
No. They also but you're forgetting they also didn't have KG.
True. It's huge.
If they had KG would make Dwight a little baby like he is.
All right, we got to get rolling. We're getting close to our time. Matt, do you have anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, I got to get my shadows. Come on.
You gave one to Kyle already, so I figured.
Yeah,
you know.
That's true. Well, I just kind of gave him a little shout out just because it kind of went in the conversation, but I wanted to give a shout out to my man Marcus. He's on the West Coast with me. You know, he's been taking those pictures that have been pretty popular on the 5-Out Instagram account if you haven't checked those out. He's actually kind of the founder of the name 5-Out. We'll eventually have to tell that story, Nick, right?
Yeah, I think we'll maybe someday we can explain it, because I know some people still don't understand as much as some know what 5-Out means. They don't get why we went with the name, but that's a story for way down the line. But yes, he is the reason that we're called 5-Out for sure. Tyler, do you have anything before we get going?
Last thing for me, I'll give a shout out to my guy Amari Stoudemire, who won the big three defensive player of the year award yesterday. So big day for my guy Amari.
Yeah, big day. He decided he's gonna play defense in a 3-on-3 league. Congrats.
Yeah, it's half court, so
he didn't do his whole career, but now he's defensive player of the year in some scrub ass league.
Oh yeah, with
Ryan Salabrini every week,
and he's playing Royce White too.
Another scrub.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We didn't even get to the Royce White stuff. I totally forgot about that. Ah, my bad. Well, you know, the way things are going with him and Park right now, it could last into next week because they just won't stop chirping each other. But anyways, we will talk to you guys all again next week.
What it do, baby?
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.